excited over this, and you just tickled to death that someone has made your evening and called you. Then he says this: this is not the reason for my call. He said, a good friend of ours we went to college with, his wife, him, and his two grandkids were killed in a tragic car accident. He goes in what detail he can because the wreck happened not far from where he currently lives. So he wants to call and tell you what happened. What just happened to you? For a moment, you were in a bliss of joy. A friend you haven't heard of in years, a dear friend you went to college with, shared those times of midnight oil tests and everything else you went through. You want to keep up through the years. You cannot believe he's called you. You're tickled to death. And then you go from a moment of sheer joy down, as we would say, in the dumps. All in a matter of a few seconds. But isn't that the way life is anyway? There's times when we're on top of the world. Life is good. Look what's happened to me. Things are going great. You know, we might say the waters of life are smooth. Everything is fine. And the next moment, we're right down. At times, we're down because of circumstances of life. Things happen we have no control over. And we just have to roll with the flow and go with the punches until it passes. But there's those times, those moments, when we have those down times because it is our own fault. We can't blame life. We cannot blame society. We cannot turn around and say, oh, it's the events around me that cause this. It is my own fault. Why? We're human. We're human and we know it and we realize that we can mess things up, and that is a daily part of everyday life on this earth. Wrong decisions. Poor judgment calls. These things weigh on our mind constantly. We realize we have messed up. We have messed up our lives. We've messed up our families' lives, or maybe even those some around us by the decisions that we have made. We keep second-guessing ourselves. We keep wondering, should I have done this? Should I have left it alone? Whatever. We just keep going over and over in our mind. We almost drive ourselves nuts trying to decide, what do we do wrong? We're familiar with a statement that says, to err is human. If that being the case, more times than not, that our humanity is showing, because we do err. Let me this morning share you a story of a Bible character. You're familiar with him. He is one of my favorites. He may be yours as well. He messed things up. He truly messed things up. And found himself, as we'd say, down in the dumps, not because what went on around him, because what he himself did, not only to himself, but to the Lord. You know him. It is the Apostle Peter. Listen, while they're in the upper room in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 31, there it simply says this: then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him and said, though they all may fall away from you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. For a moment, when you read that, you feel good. You can say to yourself, Peter was self-confident. You can almost see him as they were reclining around that table in the upper room. As soon as Jesus said what Peter was going to do, you thought he had a spring in his cushion. He jumped right up. You could almost see it. At the same time, if he's declaring all this, and I'll never deny you, I'll defend you, almost see him waving his sword around the room to let it be known, give an illustration of the fact, I'm going to stand for my Lord. I'm going to stand for him. No one's going to tell me that I'll turn my back on him. I'm going to stand for him. Come what may, he will be there. He'll be by the Lord's side with his sword drawn, ready to fight. Can't knock him for that. You can't say anything to Peter. Said you shouldn't have said that was Peter. He was self-confident. You praise him for his conviction and his courage that he would stand for his Lord during this time. But there's a problem. His convictions and his courage had not yet been tested. There lies the problem. Jesus knew it as well as anyone. He knew of the good intentions. He had heard the convention speeches that often many make. He had heard them many times as he walked through the hills and valleys of Palestine, hearing those that I'll follow you, but I would like to do this, but. Or someone says, Lord, wherever you go, I'll follow you. Lord, already knowing they weren't going to do it. That's us. We make promises. We make promises and we brag to the world what all we're going to do. When it actually comes down to doing it, more times than not, it is all talk. And we find ourselves being weak and compromising in all of these promises that we make. What was Peter's biggest problem then in hours at times? Peter was more confident in himself. He was more assured of himself, believed in himself more than he did in the Son of God and the words that Christ had just spoke to him. He knew more. So he's going to learn a very harsh lesson. A lesson that is when we disappoint others who believe in us. It's devastating, isn't it, when we disappoint ourselves. When we bring the heartache and the hardships and the problems upon ourselves because of what we have done, it hurts. And this is exactly what Peter did. Because before the next morning, he would do exactly what he said he would not do. Reading on in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 69, it says, Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, You also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you mean. And he went out of the entrance. Another servant girl saw him and said to the bystander, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. And after a while the bystanders came up and said to Peter, Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. There is an interesting thing, though, that is found in Luke's account of this scene that none of the other three mention. Listen carefully to what Luke said. This is at the end of verse 60 of chapter 22. Peter's done already denied him three times. And listen, and immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Looked at him. And Peter, it says, remembered what he had done to the Lord. Because you remember, he denied him three times. And Luke says he went out and wept bitterly. Notice in Luke's account, the Lord doesn't say a word. He just looks at Peter and he knew what he had done. Here is the man early on. Here's a man who said on the coast of Caesarea, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was blessed for what he had to say. Here's the same man months later, a year later, saying, I don't even know who he is. I don't know who he is. We know how down he was because the word bitterly there takes on the connotation. He basically cried his eyes out. they were no more tears when he got through. The question that must have entered his mind, that may even enter ours from time to time when we messed our lives up and doing things we never imagined that we would ever do, when we disappoint ourselves and when we've disappointed the Lord, the question is simply these two words: what now? What now? When all the tears have been shed and all of the I'm sorries have been said over and over again, when the reality of the actions sink in, what are we going to do now? What would the future hold, in other words? Let's think about that when we look at two points this morning. First of all, when we mess up our lives, we need to know that the future can bring forgiveness. How could have Peter messed up anymore? You couldn't think of anything else he could have done that was any worse. He'd gone from one extreme early on, you are the Christ, to turn around and deny him and said, I don't even know who he is. I never heard of him. How far could he have gone to mess up? His loyalty that he had been known for, his love, his leadership. Because y'all would know when he spoke first, the other disciples would come behind and say, yeah, I agree with Peter. They would amen basically what he was saying. He was their leader. He's not dependable anymore. He has just lied. He has denied. He has survived it, yes. But he has survived it at the integrity, at the expense of his integrity and the expense of his soul. Failure. Because of sin requires forgiveness. And Peter desperately needed to be forgiven. It's interesting, though, when we look after that, that when the angel appeared to the women in Mark 16 in verse 7, they were told by the angels to go tell of the resurrection to the disciples and Peter. Why was Peter mentioned specifically? You ever wonder why? Luke 24, 34. This is the fact. The Lord appeared to Peter before he appeared to the rest of the disciples. He appeared to him before the others. Why? Peter, I forgive you. Have I bowed? I forgive you for what you've done to me. It's over. It's gone. It's forgotten. There is no doubt that Peter was down on himself during this time, ashamed of himself, needing the Lord's forgiveness. He had messed up. And Jesus answered it and said, yes, I have forgiven you. When we ask people at times, how are things going? Well, things seem to be looking up. Which really means this, the opposite. I'm not as down as I was a while ago. But things are looking up. The truth is this. Things only look up when we look up. Only when we look up. If we turn our eyes toward heaven, if we focus ourselves on the Christ who died for us, our Savior, our hope, if we focus for a moment on the Heavenly Father who loves us beyond all imagination, rather than on our depressing moments, our weaknesses, the things we've done that are wrong, the harm we have brought, the joy that we need can return, and it will return. And we can be lifted up out of depression, out of despair, out of our dumps. If you don't believe it, ask Peter again what he did in Matthew 14. Did Peter walk on the water? Yes, he did. When did he begin to sink? When he took his eyes off the Lord. That's us. When we take our eyes off the Lord, we're going to sink in the muddy waters of life. But as long as we keep focused on Him, ask His forgiveness, which He's promised He will do, the joy will return, and we can walk on the waters toward the goal of heaven. Peter found his forgiveness, and the question is, so can we. Yes, so can we. Okay, Peter, you blew it. You denied. The Lord's forgiven you. Let's look at one other thing. The second thing we want to look at is when we've messed up our lives, we need to know that the future not only can bring forgiveness, but it can also bring fulfillment and fruitfulness. After this event, and after everything had settled down in the resurrection and everything was over, what did Peter do? Peter goes back to that which he knows so well. Peter goes back to the Sea of Galilee and goes back to fishing. Why? He knows how to do that. And no doubt, he had probably been in that boat. If his father was a fisherman, he'd probably been in that boat since he was, if we would say, in diapers. He knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of his hand. That was his profession. He was a fisherman. He goes back to that which he knows he can do. He goes back to that which he's confident in. I can do this. I've done it before. I can go right back. I hadn't forgotten anything. I still know about the Sea of Galilee. I know of its storms. I know of its calmness. I know where the fish are at times, where the best place to catch. He knew all of that. But why would he go back? He'd been forgiven. The Lord had already appeared to him, let him know that I've forgiven you what you've done. Was it really this that Peter felt like he was no longer worthy to serve his Lord? That very well could have been the basis, that he no longer felt like he was needed. No longer that he would be able to do anything whatsoever. Why? Because when you look at himself, we look at ourselves, we've been there. We've messed our lives up. We seek forgiveness. In the back of my mind, even though we have seek forgiveness and people around us know what we've done and we know we've asked for forgiveness and they do, we still feel useless because we've lost it all. We've lost our influence. We've lost our effectiveness to be good. We've lost the ability to do the things we want to accomplish up here. We've convinced ourselves we can no longer do anything. No one's going to trust us anymore. I can't never lead anyone else. I can't show anyone how to become a child of God. I'm not even worthy myself now. I know the Lord's forgiven me, but here's the clicker. I cannot forgive myself. So I'm going to live, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come at every service. I don't want anybody ever think I'm skipping it anymore. I'm going to come at every service. I'm going to sit in my pew, and I'm going to go home. I'm going to warm the pew. I'm not going to go about trying to fill it. Why? I can't. I don't have anything. I can't. I've lost it all. That was Peter. That was Peter. Now let's turn to John 21. They're fishing on the Sea of Galilee. They've been out all night. One of them nights that you couldn't got them to bite if you threw them every piece of meat you had in the boat. They get as they get near dawn, Christ comes along the shore and asks them, "How's it been? How's the fish going?" Nothing. They're out all night, hadn't caught a thing. Throw it over on the other side. They do. They almost sink the boat. John says they caught 153 large fish and the net did not break. At first they weren't sure who it was. And they began to realize one by one, it is the Savior. It is the Lord. Peter, here's Peter again. What does he do? Wait for the boat to get short? No. Jump out and swim ahead to the shore. They sit down to eat. And as they're sitting there eating, Jesus asked Peter a question three times, the same amount of times that he had denied him. Three times he asked him, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter said yes, and three times the Savior said, feed my sheep. What was he saying? Just with those three words, what was he telling Peter? I still need you. You are worthy. You're one of my apostles. I want you to continue your work. Because at the end of that discourse, the last two words he said to Peter was this, follow me. The Lord not only had forgiven Peter, but he was telling him what I said years earlier, that I would give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I mean every word I said. I'm going to give them to you. So what do we have? Whose sermon do we have recorded in Acts 2? Who preached the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time? Who left us two marvelous epistles that reflect on life and give us encouragement? It is the Apostle Peter. Because even though he had given up on himself, the Lord had not given up on him. He says, I still can use you. You're still worthy. You're still my servant. You're still my apostle. But you always have to ask, what if he didn't? Another apostle's name would have been in Acts 2. Another apostle been at the house of Cornelius, and there have been two books missing out of the New Testament. We know exactly the answer to that. Don't have to ask. We know, when we look at Peter, we know of his remorse. He wept bitterly. We know of his repentance through that weeping bitterly. What's the fact? He just literally cried his eyes out. We know of his repentance. It paved the way for the Lord to forgive him, which he did. But what paved the way for his fruitfulness? What paved the way for him to be the one that we find recorded in Acts 2 and the house of Cornelius and two marvelous books? It is found in John 21. It is the only thing that will cause any of us to move on with our lives, find fulfillment and fruitfulness in serving the God of heaven and our Savior Jesus Christ. After we have messed up our lives and done some of the most horrible things we can ever think of, it simply boils down to this one thing. It is the love for the Son of God that keeps us going. Peter loved the Savior more than he did anyone else. And when he asked him to follow him, Peter's love for the Christ continued because he followed him. And we know the results thereof. I'll say this as a blanket statement to all of us here this morning. We do love the Lord, don't we? We love the Lord. We love what he's done for us. We love of his love, his son, his forgiveness, his fulfillment, the fruitfulness that we can have as his child. Whether we can do something great for the cause of Christ or we can do that little bitty thing for the cause of Christ, all he says to us is follow him. What about this morning? As you look at your life this morning, have there been those unfaithful moments in your life? Have there been those times when you have not been as you should? Things you have done that cause you regret to the cause of Jesus Christ? The Peter will tell you, if you stood here today, the life of regret is not the way to go. The way to go is admit I have messed up. The way to go is ask the Lord's forgiveness. And then follow him. That's what I did. And you know Peter would never forget a day he did for the rest of his life. This morning, if you're not a child of God, as we always say, everything is ready for you, one of his precious children. This morning you can remove the life of guilt and sin that's in plaguing your life. You can ask God as you move forward and believe in that he is the Christ. Confessing the fact before all that he is the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did. repent, confess, and then be Lord in the water of grace of baptism, raised to walk a new life, leaving here today knowing that you love for him, caused you to become a child of his. The past life is buried and gone. From this day forward, go forward and follow him. This morning, if you're a child of God who strayed from the truth, simply ask you this question. Do you want to go home? If you look at your life and realize I've messed it up, and right now if it was time, I would not go. Here's the opportunity to change it. While together we stand and while we sing.
Parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?